Wherever God has chosen to wake you up today, that is your mission field. A majority of us that are listening to this, that is going to be here in the United States of America. Some of you that may be overseas. It's that simple. So that's going to be your place of work, your kid's school, the grocery store, your neighborhood, your home, maybe even your church home. We cannot continue to put this on others, that they're going to take care of it, or think that it's always overseas or whatever the case may be. For some, yes, it is. For some, he has sent us and we go where he tells us to go. But a majority of us, it's going to be right here, right where you're at. And so my question to you is, you've chosen to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, are you going to choose to really pick up your cross and follow him and accept his great commission that he's given? Or are you too ashamed? Are you too lazy? Are you just good with being comfortable and existing? Truth Rising was made possible thanks to the Kimberly Tower Foundation. The KTF is a united force devoted to uplifting and empowering women and children. Through their efforts, they kindle a sense of belonging, spur personal growth, and create an enduring legacy of impact. To learn more, please see the show notes and look into the ktf4love.org. This podcast is sponsored by Costello's Butcher Shop Deli Fine Wine and Cheeses, located in Pensacola, Florida. Costello's offers Wagyu, a deli, fine wines, desserts, just all the things. Also, if you're a child, 7 days a week, you can walk into Costello's and get yourself a free sack lunch. That's right. I said free. I think we've hit 130,000 so far. So go in, let them know Truth Rising sent you, and you will be so glad you did. Ladies, it's time. It's time we get back to the basics. It's time we get back to God's design for our lives. It's time we drink from the living water. So meet us at the well. It's not too late. He's waiting. Hey, y'all, it's Tiffany, and today I get to speak about what is the mission field? Where is it? What does that look like? Maybe this is something you haven't thought about before. I'm going to try to keep this as less complicated as possible because I think that's what's happened a little bit over time. And I want to start first and foremost with God's word. So go to the book of Matthew. You can start in the front of the Bible. It'll tell you what page you can find that book in. Flip there. You're going to go to chapter 28. That's going to be the big number. And we're going to drop down to verse 19. That's the little number. It says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." All right, this is also referred to as the Great Commission. And this is where Jesus is, before he ascends up to heaven, he gives this last set of directions to his disciples. He says, go make disciples. I mean, wow, what greater calling than that, right? So what does that mean for us today? That means wherever God has chosen to wake you up today, that is your mission field. A majority of us that are listening to this, that is going to be here in the United States of America. Some of you that may be overseas. It's wherever he has woken you up. That is your mission field. It's that simple. So that's going to be your place of work, your kid's school, the grocery store, your neighborhood, your home, maybe even your church home. We cannot continue to put this on others, that they're going to take care of it, or think that it's always overseas or whatever the case may be. For some, yes, it is. For some, he has sent us and we go where he tells us to go. But a majority of us, it's going to be right here, right where you're at. And so my question to you is, you've chosen to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Best decision you'll ever make. Now, are you going to choose to really pick up your cross and follow him and accept this great commission that he's given? Or are you too ashamed? Are you too lazy? Are you just good with being comfortable and existing? See, we think that all the things will happen there at church. For the most part, non-believers aren't coming to church. That's the reason why we have to go do this. We are to go to church for the believer to be encouraged, to be sharpened, to learn, right? So that we can get out into the world and make more disciples. Like, because we want to go to heaven and we want to take as many people with us as possible. But unfortunately, I think a lot of our church homes aren't really teaching this. We're not actively doing this ourselves. And so we're missing making disciples, or the discipleship that should be occurring within the church homes. And so most of our mission fields are lacking missionaries, which is what you are. God didn't just wake you up today and say, you have no purpose and there's no value. Otherwise, he wouldn't have woke you up today. He woke you up, you have purpose and value, and he wants you to be out there living your life for him. That's going to require you to be uncomfortable. That's going to require you to walk unashamed as a follower of Jesus Christ. That's going to require you to be in relationship with Jesus so that you can hear his voice. So as you're in the world, you don't become the world. You go into the world to tell them the good news. Most of us, though, we really like that comfort. We like that we can go to our church walls and it's a place that's safe and it's accepting. It's easy. Like the Casting Crown song, you know, we like our coffee and we keep our missions overseas. You know, would we even cross the street? We like that it's, you know, we really honestly put all of this on our pastor. Many of us do, the head pastor. We just, you know, he goes, he gives that sermon, and then we leave. We can't keep doing that. On Sunday mornings, when your pastor's up there preaching, we should be listening, taking notes, and taking what we hear and putting it into play. That is the whole point to Sunday mornings. If your church isn't doing that, well, that's that's something else. But that is the whole point. They give us a teaching or a lesson or whatever the case may be, and we're supposed to be taking that out and living that actively in our lives, right where we're at. It's a part of that. We're to be going and learning and sharpening and growing as Christians. That's called sanctification also, where we learn to be more like Christ and less like ourselves. Where I don't like myself in that way. I don't want to act like Tiffany. I'm a hot mess in a bad way. Whereas with Jesus, when I want to be more like him, I'm still a mess, but he takes over and he comes out in ways that I couldn't. He says things that I wouldn't have thought to say. He leads me in places I wouldn't have known to go. He literally becomes my life. I am the dwelling place of God when I've received Christ as my Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit now dwells in me. I am the temple. We literally receive Christ and become the dwelling place of God. And then we are to take this into all the world, make more disciples, and all go to heaven together. That is the ultimate goal. And the best part of all of this is that while we are here taking light into a very dark, broken, fallen world, that is how we also push back that darkness, push back that evil. Many of us want to sit here and say, oh, the world is this and that and all the things. Well, yeah, but what are you doing? What are you doing on your mission field? Right where you're at with what you have. That's all he asks of you. That's all you need. See, we have so much evil spreading and wickedness just everywhere because many of us Christians are just existing and continuing to only go to the place that's comfortable because we've checked that box. We got our salvation. And then we live for ourselves still. Well, that's not it. That's not where it stops. There is far more to this than what we're letting on. Because a Christian disciple is a person who follows Jesus Christ and accepts this calling, this great commission, about spreading the good news, the gospel, that the salvation is through Christ and Christ alone. So to truly be a Christian disciple, you've received the gift, you have chosen to receive Christ, and you're also choosing to live for him too. If we're not evangelizing, if we're not out there sharing the gospel and encouraging others to repent and to believe in Jesus, then what are we doing? And how's that going to go the day you stand before God and he asks you about this? Because you're not going to be asking him. He's going to ask you. I don't know if this is going to make sense to many, but it does to me. You know, before I decided to live for Christ, and I don't even know what I did before this, I always ask myself, what was my purpose in life then? It's just sad to think about, like, what did I live for then? But when I decided I really wanted to live for him, I started thinking,
I started thinking about all those before that I could have offered true hope to in Jesus, that I could have helped find peace in Jesus, that I could have helped find freedom in Jesus. But no, I didn't. Sometimes I think I look down and I see their blood on my hands. Is it on me? No. That's what Jesus did. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's him. That's the power of the cross. But still, I hate that I missed such beautiful opportunities because I was living for myself and I was ashamed. And I really didn't want a relationship with Christ. And so now I think to myself, God, you have chosen to continue to wake me up these past few days. And I'm so grateful for that because there's so many more I want to talk to. There's so many more people I want to reach and tell them about you. I want them to know about you. I want to do my part here so that when I stand before God, I want to hear, "Welcome home, good and faithful servant." And I want to look around and I want to see all my brothers and sisters there with me. See, there's a part in Revelation that everyone always talks about, and it's when he's going to wipe every tear, right? What most people don't realize is right before that, we've just witnessed friends and family thrown into the lake of fire. I think there's a little bit of why he's wiping our tears at that moment. Because being a Jesus follower is going to cost you something. He tells us to pick up our cross and follow him, that we have to die to ourselves each day and live for him. And then when the reality starts to hit of that, what it really looks like to live for God, many of us, we don't want to, and we don't. And I just want to encourage you today to please don't do that, to really go have an honest reflection and conversation with Jesus and just talk to him and really reflect. Are you waking up excited and eager to get on that mission field? Or are you waking up and only thinking about yourself? Are you waking up ready to live for the world? Or are you waking up ready to live for God? Because it is exciting to be on this side of things. Let me just tell you what. I think that's one of my biggest parts I play in my own little space that God has placed me in, is I want others to see that following Jesus is actually amazing and it's fun and it's exciting. There's nothing like it. And until you experience that, you are missing out. And I want people to see that in my life, the way I talk, the way I act, how my marriage is, how I am as a mom. That no, I am not perfect. I am far from it. But let me tell you what, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about the good news. Let me tell you about this peace that surpasses all understanding. Let me tell you about the joy you can have even in the midst when everything is burning around you. Let me tell you this. You want to hear this. I want people to see this in me, to see this passion and this desire I have. And the only way they're going to see that is if I get out there and start living on the mission field. So you may be asking, how does this look? How do I do this? All right, first ask yourself, what's your church home doing about this? Are you seeing this led by example from those appointed in your church, your elders, your pastors? Are they showing you this? Are they teaching you this? Are they talking to you about this? If not, you need to start there. That is a big thing. That's the whole point. Again, that's what we're to be doing. Okay, and then you've started there. Well, I don't know if you start there, but that's part of this. Another part, let me just tell you a couple ideas I have, and then we'll end this out. So for our family, one of the coolest things, and it wasn't by choice, it was all by God. We kind of got pushed into the front yard. We have some stuff going on in our backyard. And in the midst of that, like other neighbors started coming out. And now we have like neighborhood hangouts and our kids play and ride their scooters. And it's been just the best blessing ever. I mean, it'll be like 90 some degrees and we're trying to figure out a way to be in the front yard because we just want to be around our neighbors and hang out and see. And everyone's got their, you know, their chairs and their whatever. And everyone just shows up as they are. And we're out there and it's been amazing. And people are driving by and they're seeing this and people are walking by and others are wanting to join in. And that alone has just been an awesome opportunity right here in our own neighborhood. Another idea is, I heard this a long time ago from Ann Graham Lotz. She's Billy Graham's daughter. And she's, by the way, an amazing Bible teacher. If you haven't listened to her teachings, go do that. And she said that her family always would ask the waiter or waitress if they could pray for them for their meals. And I heard that. And first of all, I was like, that, I don't want to do that. But I also really want to do that. Like, it was just really weird internal battle. And pretty much every time I do this, it's been an internal battle. But y'all, whew, I think the coolest part about this is when we sit down to eat, we wait and they bring us our food and I'll wait till after the waitress, and they usually end, you know, waiter or waitress will ask, do you need anything else? And I just look up at them and I say, hey, we always pray before we eat. Do you have any prayer requests or praises that we can pray for you? Y'all, the responses we have gotten, we've gotten people that have put out their hands and joined us. We've had people pray for us. We've had people burst into tears. We've had people just confess things. We've had people give praises to God about things they've overcome or that they're battling. And just, it's been life-changing. And every single time, still to this day, it's gotten a little easier, but I will try to convince myself not to or talk myself out of it. And I'm so glad that God continues to just, I don't know, the Holy Spirit just keeps, his voice is just so loud in those moments. Like, don't you dare. Don't you dare. Come on. And the blessings, while these people, like, you look at their faces, I'm going to cry again because I'm just seeing a lot of their faces. And it's not the power of Tiffany. You know, I'm offering them in that moment. I'm wherever I go, I take the Holy Spirit with me. And in that moment, that's who they are in the presence of, right? And you see it happening. I mean, what an honor. I don't even know what I was saying because I'm just seeing their faces and it's just really precious. Because I've turned away from two and I remember both their faces. I had convinced myself not to ask and I hate that. Anyways, I just told God, you know, not long ago, actually, I said, please, Father, I won't do that again. Give me another opportunity. And he does. And it's just his sweetness and his love for me. And he continues to let us go. And I don't know what I was saying. But anyways, what's so cool, though, is that my daughter, like, she doesn't know going out to eat without that now. And I'm hoping this is a generational thing. I'm hoping that she will continue on with this, even when she's not with mom. That she'll think to ask her waiter or waitress if they have any prayer requests or praises. Oh, man, I can't wait to get to heaven and see if that happens. I just want to see. Anyways, that's another opportunity. Sorry, just kind of, whew, took me up there for a second. Another idea, and I'll end with this one. This is just something else. And these are just some ideas. These aren't, you know, all the options that you have. But this one may be a little intimidating for some of us, but I'm a nurse and I have started asking my patients if they have any questions, concerns, or prayer requests. And in today's society, you know, that could come with a cost. But right now, I know it's not illegal to pray for someone in the United States of America. Not right now. And, you know, there's kind of two parts to this. I've thought to myself, if I can't do this, Lord help me if persecution actually ever does hit me. Because if I can't handle this, how am I going to handle that? You know what I'm saying? Because you have not experienced persecution in the United States of America in that level. Or some maybe have, actually. I take that back. But I don't know. I'm going to say a very small percentage of us have. And I'm not talking social media. If someone, you know, bashes you on, that's not persecution on that level. So I thought to myself, if I can be unashamed, even in my workplace, man, God really is changing me to be more like him and less like myself, because that was a hard place for me to to kind of bring this with, right? Because I don't change at 7 p.m. or 5 p.m. I don't become a new person. I am still Tiffany. And in all honesty, what greater opportunity than in our places of work? Okay, I know I said I was going to be done, but I do want to say this one last thing. You have two missions for the most part as a Jesus follower on our mission fields. First is to make disciples. So that means we're not going and necessarily talking about all the things and doing all the things about someone's lifestyle or who they are. Our number one mission should be that we tell them the good news about Jesus. If they don't have the Holy Spirit, the rest of this really, for the most part, isn't going to make sense. Okay? So start there. That is the only thing that matters first, is that whoever's standing in front of you, does this person have a relationship with Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior or not? And that is going to really dictate which direction you should be going and how you should be. Even, you know, Paul says, speak to a Jew like a Jew. We have to be going in and talking to these individuals on that level, which is the most important. And that's that they know Jesus and have received him as their Lord and Savior. After that, we move into the other option, which is we come alongside, and that's where you are pouring into one another and that discipleship process starts to occur, right? Where we are learning and growing and being sharpened and convicted and just becoming more like Jesus and less like ourselves. And that's where we really need to be looking at our brothers and sisters in Christ for that accountability, for maybe sometimes course direction, encouragement, whatever the case may be. But that first part, you have to be able to look at someone and know your audience. Again, the most important part, keep it simple. It is so simple. And that is telling them the gospel and the good news. And if you don't know what that is, I've put a podcast up about that because I wanted to keep it very short. And the whole point is, do you even know what the gospel is? And if not, you need to know. You need to know how to go talk to someone about Jesus. You need to be able to tell them how to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And not overcomplicate it, because it's not. I mean, look at the man on the cross next to Christ. What did he do? He admitted he was a sinner in his own way. He's like, we deserve to be up here. He doesn't. And he asked for Christ to remember him. And what did Jesus say? Today you shall be with me in paradise. It was that simple. Repent and believe. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses is saved. That is the whole point. So let me try to wrap this all up. First and foremost, how's your relationship with Jesus going? Start there. Do you have one? If not, I just told you how to get one. Secondly, your mission field is where he's going to wake you up. That is it. Be asking the Holy Spirit to guide you, to lead you. If we ask for that wisdom and guidance, y'all, the Holy Spirit will answer. Pray that you have eyes to see and ears to hear, and that you will live your life as a living sacrifice to the Lord that day. Thy will be done. Third, know your audience. Does this person need to know who Jesus is? Or does this person know who Jesus is? And let that guide the conversation, because we want to make other disciples so they can make other disciples, so that they can make other disciples, and that this world just has light in places that just desperately need it. And again, remember, like, you don't have to have pressure, y'all. He doesn't need us for anything. The church will prevail. That's a promise. But what greater honor and calling is there than to serve God and to live for him? All right. If you have anything to add, or you have any questions, or maybe this, I don't know, reach out to us. Our Instagram is linked in the show notes. You can email us. Just, we'd love to hear from you if there's something that you would like to add about the mission field. Until next time, y'all, God bless.
At Truth Rising, we believe prayer is powerful. So I'm going to pray a blessing over you. May God be gracious to you and bless you and make his face shine upon you. May you experience the love of Christ. Though it is so great, you will never fully understand it, and you may be filled with the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. May Christ make his home in your heart through faith. May your love abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruits of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to God's glorious might, and may you be filled with joy. May the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. And I say all this in Jesus' name. Amen.